some are friendly, some are cutting, some are watching it from the wings, some are standing in the center, giving a get something. Little beauty gets attention, and her eye paint's running down. She's got a rose in her teeth and a lampshade crown. One minute she's so happy, then she's crying on someone's knee, saying, laughing and crying, you know it's the same relief. Eddie in the corner thinking he's nobody, and Jack behind his joker, and Stone Cold Grace behind her fan, and me and my frightened silence thinking I don't understand. I feel like I am sleeping. Can you wake me? You seem to have a broader sensibility. I'm just living on nerves and feelings with a weak and a lazy mind, and coming to people's parties bumbling deaf, dumb, and blind.
Talked about unbuckling that old body. Train you better. feel just like your brain's been bolted to the wall. That all the screws were tightening and you were cut off.
Behind, I'm still. You're listening to Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 in the Windsor, Detroit area, and also syndicating across several different stations throughout Canada, including now CFBX in Kamloops, BC. Hello, Kamloops, and hopefully you're listening and enjoy what you're hearing. And also to the other stations, thank you, and CJAM, of course. I'm your host, Dave, joined with Adam, and we just came back from a set there featuring a collection of some old stuff and some recently released new old stuff.
That was quite a mouthful, but yes, that's right. We ended off with a track from Bob Dylan. We heard another alternative version of Can't Wait. That was a song originally featured off of his 1997, I guess you can call it a comeback record, Time Out of Mind. And that's featured from the Bootleg Series Volume 17. It's entitled Fragments, and it does cover the recording sessions for that record. And even though there aren't a lot of new songs that you can find on that compilation, the versions of those tracks that would wind their way on the record itself, it's such a winding path. We hear so many alternative versions of those songs, and this one might actually be superior to what ended up on the record itself, in my humble opinion, but I really loved it. Version 2 of Can't Wait, a great alternative version of a song featured from an already pretty darn good Bob Dylan record. Now, prior to that, we heard some music from a band that will, believe it or not, actually be performing here in Windsor tonight.
That's right. We heard $2 Bill and his Bad Pennies. We heard Newfoundland Bullet, which is an original track he wrote about a train in Newfoundland. And that's actually just a live radio session from 1999. So a bit of information for people who are like, who the heck is this $2 Bill guy? $2 Bill would play a lot of shows in Canada in the late 90s and early 2000s, and his band lineup would often change, but he was quite popular, and then all of a sudden, 15 years ago, he disappeared. He went off the grid and basically stopped playing, cut off contact from everyone, from what I've been told, and then recently, as of late, he started playing shows again, getting together some of the same musicians and also some different musicians, even though they would often change in the lineup when he would play before. And he played a very well-received show in London, Ontario, at the Richmond, not too long ago. And now he's coming through Windsor. And he's going to be playing tonight at the Fog Lounge. First time he's playing Windsor in 15 years. And it's highly recommended. There's going to be a lot of guests. Lonesome Lefty, who used to play with him back then, in some capacity on fiddle, I believe, will be playing with him tonight. Also, Alison Brown and Tim Swadling, and I'm sure a few others as well. It's going to be a cool, one-of-a-kind show, $10 tonight, Fog Lounge, and that was one of the songs that I'm sure you'll hear at the show.
That's right, and we took that from a 1999 live radio session from London, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, we heard some music from Graham Parsons. We talked about him a little bit before the set got going, but he was, of course, an instrumental singer-songwriter who really helped helm what would be eventually known as alternative country. And now, at the time, what that meant was integrating more pop and rock and roll influences into country music and having a very mature, honed writing style. So his lyrics are not throwaway songs. They're not tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. These are ones that talk about deep-seated insecurities, that talk about reflections of social ills. A lot of things that were very prevalent with bands that he influenced and worked with, including the Rolling Stones and the Byrds. And of course, his co-helmed band, the Flying Burrito Brothers. But his two solo records were incredible. I misspoke, though, earlier. I said he only had two solo records released in his lifetime. He actually only had one, because the album we heard from, Grievous Angel, was actually released a few months posthumously after he had passed away. He had finalized recording it and pretty much giving his agreeing to the mix of the album prior to his death in 1973, right at the end of that year, and this album came out in January of 1974. It is a fantastic record, and I think it really does show the trajectory that country music would go in. Not only alternative country, but I think it's kind of funny. Nowadays, when you turn on a country music station, you hear a lot of loud guitars, you hear a lot of pop melodies. It's kind of hard to even say what country is nowadays. Mm-hmm. For better or for worse, you can definitely attribute a lot of that lineage to Graham Parsons, who took a lot of outside of country influences, bringing them into country to make a unique style of music. And of course, the main thing that makes him stand aside beyond all that is just his mature songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
What a great cowboy poet in his own way. We heard Return of the Grievous Angel from Grievous Angel.
And I just also wanted to add, like, not only did he take those other elements and incorporate them into country, but he also did the other thing. Like, he was with Keith Richards a lot and the Rolling Stones, and he kind of, like, not that they didn't know what country was, but he kind of introduced them to that style, and they kind of incorporated into their sound. And then he was with the Byrds, of course, and they were already influential and with their jangly sound, but he put country, kind of incorporated, helped them incorporate that into their sound. So he kind of hit these key areas and had a really large overarching influence way before he even went solo or even with the Burrito Brothers.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's arguable to say that he had a huge influence on music, more so than most people would recognize. Probably people were influenced by him that didn't even know his name at the time. You know, he was a direct influence for the Stones' Honky Tonk Woman, and of course he did collaborate on Sweetheart of the Rodeo, that classic album from the Byrds from 1969. Prior to that, another great poet and folk songwriter, Joni Mitchell, is also celebrating a 50th anniversary of the album Court and Spark, arguably one of the best records from Joni Mitchell, maybe second only to Blue from 1971. This one saw her get a step away, I guess, from the folk influences and really prioritize jazz arrangements in a way that was hinted at but never fully explored in her music before. And this was a watershed moment. After Court and Spark, those jazz rock influences would predominantly appear on her music, and I think would just eschew the usual sort of folk trappings that a lot of people had associated with her music from years prior, making a revolutionary record that really didn't sound like anything else that came out at the time in 1974, and arguably still doesn't. It is a great record and highly recommended. Again, Court and Spark is celebrating 50 years of release this month. We played People's Parties, and what we played before that was Joni Mitchell doing a live performance of the Court and Spark song Raised on Robbery, but this one performed alongside with Joni Mitchell's collaborator Neil Young and the Santa Monica Flyers. That was recorded as part of the sessions for, I believe it was, what was the live album? Was it...
Tonight's the Night.
Tonight's the Night. That's right. Thank you, David.
I don't know. Like, I think he just recorded it live, like in the studio. I didn't look this information up, but yeah, it's Tonight's the Night.
And what a great rendition of it, too. You can find that off of the 2020 compilation, the Neil Young Archive Volume 2. And we're actually going to be looking forward to Volume 3 being released this year.
Lots more unreleased Neil Young albums that hopefully will be as amazing as the ones that came out before it. We're going to shift gears actually here, switching to do a set kind of inspired by this book that I read called Needles and Plastic. I did play some from it last year, but there's just so much music mentioned in this book that I wanted to highlight. So maybe over the next few shows, I'll do a few sets of music from the Flying Nun record label. And Needles and Plastic is a really interesting book because it tells their history and story, how they came from this really low-budget, lo-fi, DIY label, taking that DIY punk ethos kind of because of the fostering and very vibrant New Zealand rock scene at the time, indie rock scene, everything that was going on. And a lot of the music in the scene was influenced by, yes, punk, but more so bands like Velvet Underground and things of that nature. And they just had this really unique jangly sound in the early 80s, and they often would call it the Dundeen sound or the Dundeen sound. I may be pronouncing that incorrectly. But there's just so much music that was released through this label. Eventually they went on to become a much larger label, and they're still around putting out music, and they're really just a cool label.
And now I think a lot of North Americans refer to that sound as the Flying Nun sound because it's become so synonymous with the output from that label. There's a lot of bands that we're going to be playing in the set, but maybe we should talk about it when we come back.
Right.
We're going to have to play a brief break just to remind you what station you're listening to, and then we're going to get into a lot of music from this label. It's so cool. If you haven't checked them out before, definitely I think this might expose you to some bands you want to seek out now.